We are in a series called One Another, and this series is so important for us to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. And it is His church, by the way, so we want to be the church that the Scripture tells us we're supposed to be. And you know what? When we do what the Scripture tells us to do, it's so life-changing for us personally. But it's also church-changing. It changes our relationships with one another, and it also, even in effect, is culture-changing, because when the world sees God's people living the way that we're supposed to, when the world sees us loving one another the way He loved us, I want you to know they see something genuine, something real, something attractive to them. They want what we have. I want to read to you what Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That gets people's attention. Jesus said they would know. They'll know. Not that you go to church, not that we're a bunch of religious people. They'll know that there is something genuine about our faith and that our God is real. Amen. They need to see that, church. We need to be the church that Jesus called us to be. Right. How we need to learn to, get along with our brothers and sisters. Did you know that the church in America has quite the reputation for fighting among themselves and not being able to get along? And we wonder why people are not interested. I want to tell you, we need to be that church where we love one another the way He loves us. If we're not getting along, we're not loving one another the way He loves us, right? I mean, that's not really hard to figure out. So we need to learn. How can we get along? I got some good news for you this morning, some bad news for you. The good news is John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's good news, that everybody that truly believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to heaven. Amen. Now here's the bad news. Everybody that believes in Jesus Christ, truly believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're going to heaven. Why is that bad news, Pastor? Because some of us need to realize this morning that some of the people that we can't get along with, maybe we can't even stand, they're going to heaven with us. And you're going to be with them for eternity. That's a really long time. I've been with some people, 5 minutes seem like eternity. You know what I'm saying? Well, I got some more good news for you. That, you see, when we see Him, the Bible says we're going to be like Him. So thank God for that. Amen? Amen? But still, shouldn't we learn to get along with Him here and now? We absolutely should, because the Bible tells us that we're to love one another the way He loved us. And if we're going to love one another and get along with others, I want to tell you, you got to bear with one another in love. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This verse, or these verses, tell us how we can keep the unity. There's one body, and if we're going to be one, if we're going to have real unity, we have to bear with one another in love. To bear with one another in love means that we willingly endure with one another. It means that we patiently put up with the faults and flaws of others. the weaknesses of others, just as our Lord puts up with ours. He tells us, love one another as I have loved you. And I know that this is part of how he loves me. He bears with me. I hadn't arrived yet. I got lots of faults and flaws, and he bears with me. How about you? Does the Lord bear with you? You see, that if we're really going to love others the way he loves us, we bear with them in love. Now, I want to make the point this morning that when I talk about bearing with others, I'm not talking about enduring some kind of abuse. I want to make the point that what I'm talking about is not really a sin issue, but we are commanded, by the way, to forgive when others sin against us. And I shared a message with you about that just a few weeks ago. But what we're really talking about in bearing with one another is about when, you know, people just rub you the wrong way, people annoy you, people just plain get on your nerves. It's also about people who are different from you, people that have different likes and dislikes, people have different opinions about things, even people that maybe have different convictions than you. It's amazing how we find things to, well, divide over, to not be able to get along. But the Bible tells us to bear with one another in love. And when we do that, we choose to overlook their flaws and their faults. We choose to find the good in them. We choose to treat others, as our Savior said, the way we want to be treated. Others who are annoying, others who are weird, people that get on our nerves, people that are assuming and inconsiderate, two of my least favorite things, by the way. Others who are full of all kinds of weaknesses and faults, we treat them the way we would want to be treated if we had any faults and flaws and weaknesses. We all need mercy. We all need the Lord to bear with us. Do you realize that there are things about you that others have to bear with? I hope you do. Because, you know, one of the things that's especially hard is to bear with those who are perfect. That's right. So you got any pet peeves? I have a lot of pet peeves, and I'm going to spill a few of them this morning just because I just want to identify with you. I mean, maybe you've got one or two. Well, you should feel bad for me because I got dozens, all right? And I just want you to understand that when we bear with people, we got to deal with our little pet peeves and all those things that get on our nerves. So this message is especially for me, but I know it's for some of you too. It's a really practical Christianity. This is something that you can have the opportunity to live out every single day of your life. You're going to have the opportunity to bear with others. Oh, how we need this in the body of Christ so we can be the church he wants us to be. We got to show grace to those who are different from us, who have different convictions, different opinions, and maybe annoying habits. See, we all have to bear with those who are closest to us. I mean, you know, with our family, we learn to bear with their faults and weaknesses, or you're not going to have any peace in your home. And if you're married, you learn to bear with one another. I'm just telling you, that's not going to be a happy place. No, we all have to learn to bear with those that we are closest to. I have it really easy in that regard, and you know, it's hard for me to come up with things about Carmen that would annoy me, you know, but I asked her one day, and so she told me, she said, well, you don't like it when I finish your sentences. And I was like, yeah. I mean, sometimes it gets to where it seems like it's every other sentence she's trying to finish my sentence. And what really is irritating is that most of the time she doesn't even finish it right. And I have to say, no, that's not what I was going to say, and I have to start all over again. So I forbear. And I think she should forbear with me talking slow. I'm a Texan. I mean, if I take a breath in the middle of a sentence, I don't need your help. But we've managed to forbear with one another for 41-something years, you know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you that in your home and your family and your close loved ones and your friends, you have to forbear. But how we need to forbear with the rest of the body of Christ as well. And I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you the truth in love. Some of you are quirky. I don't know if you knew that or not, but, well, some of you are just plain weird. And we love you. We bear with you in love. Don't get mad and go tell other people, pastor was talking about you in the sermon today, because then people are going to know you're weird, all right? Now, some people are just really annoying. I mean, they have that effect like fingernails on a chalkboard. I mean, some people, just their voice when they laugh or they're talking, it's just can get on your nerves. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. How about people who chew with their mouth open? It just kind of makes me shudder sometimes. It's just, you know, in fact, I think I need to eat with some of those people on a regular basis until I lose this extra 20. You know what I'm saying? Because it just my appetite goes. But how about people that drive slow in the left lane? Or the people that ride your tail when you're in the left lane, right? How about people that are always right? How about people with poor hygiene? The Lord just blessed me with a really, really good sense of smell. And it's wonderful, you know, when you're eating good food. But it isn't so wonderful when people don't bathe regular. Anyway, how about people that can talk for 4 minutes without ever even taking a breath? I mean, do you know some of those people? Like, you know, you think you're going to have a conversation, it's just one-sided. The only thing you ever get in is, uh-huh, uh-huh. I mean, you're talking on the phone, you put the phone down and walk away for 10 minutes, come back, go, uh-huh. Yeah. All kinds of little annoying things, and I'm just talking about some lighthearted things kind of right now, but the truth is sometimes that's all it takes for us to kind of get rubbed the wrong way where our relationships are damaged. But there's also bigger things that we have to deal with sometime. What really bugs you? Here's another little fun one for me. Morning people. People that are just relentlessly cheerful too early in the morning. Now, I've told you this before, but one morning, I'm not in an especially good mood, you know. My wife, she says, have a good day. I said, I've already made other plans. True story. Came from the heart. How about people that don't use proper grammar? You know, I got to tell you, if you're one of those people, there's a lot of people that are bearing with you because nobody likes to have their grammar corrected. People with no sense of humor. People that think they're funny. They only think they're funny. My kids, they had to forbear with me growing up because I always thought I was funny, and they never did. I could tell by the look on their face. How about people that just aren't the sharpest knife in the drawer? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not the brightest bulb in the room, not playing with the full deck. They couldn't pour water out of a boot if the instructions were on the heel. How about people that use too many cliches? Okay. People that don't have any manners, no learning. How about people that clip their fingernails in church? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get personal now. If that was you, well, let me just... How about people that clip their toenails in church? We all think that's too far, right? People who don't control their kids. You ever been run into by a kid in the church? Anyway, Barren with people means forbearing, to show tolerance, to make allowances for each other's fault. And I know in our culture right now that, you know, tolerant has been turned into a dirty word. But if you think that everybody else has to be just like you, if they got to come through your knothole, I want to tell you, you need to put your pride down and start bearing with others. Well, no, there's some people that are just hard to love. There's no doubt about it. Some people are easier to love than others. But to love one another, we absolutely have to learn to bear with one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 7, it's given a description of what love is. And it says, love bears all things. Love bears all things. So if we love one another, we absolutely bear with one another in love. Ephesians 4, let's just read 1 and 2 this time. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another. First, I want you to notice that in the first part there, he says that we're to live a life worthy of our calling. If we can't love one another in spite of our faults, it certainly does not reflect the love of our Savior. It is not living a life worthy of our calling if we're not loving one another enough to bear with one another's faults. So how do we do this? I just love it when the scripture spells it out for us and tells us how to do something. It says that bearing with one another, first of all, it requires lowliness. We have to be completely humble. See, when we're humble, we remember that we ourselves are far from perfect, that we have our own set of faults and flaws, and we don't really have any business judging somebody else. When we're humble, you see, in lowliness, we can bear one another's burdens. When you think you're right and everybody else is wrong, when you think it's your job to criticize others, you got a pride problem. Have you ever been wrong? Did you know it can happen again? I mean, you think you're right. Sometimes you can be so sure you're right, and you end up being wrong. I want to tell you, it takes humility to bear with others in love. In pride, you might be able to just kind of grit your teeth and say, well, I'm going to put up with them anyway. You know, just put up with it. But that's not bearing with them in love. To do it in love, it takes lowliness. It takes humility. Bearing with one another in love requires gentleness. See, our old sinful nature can respond in a harsh way and even become angry with the faults and flaws of others. But if we're going to bear with them in love, then we have to take on that gentleness, that even when maybe they're harsh or angry, we're still gentle. We bear with them. My wife really lives by this principle, and not just with me, I've seen her use it on people. It's Proverbs 15 and 1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, even when somebody's angry or harsh, we shouldn't be harsh in return. No, we should have a soft answer. We should be gentle. If you're going to forbear, if you're going to bear with others in love, you're going to have to be gentle. Bearing with one another requires long-suffering. The NIV says patient. If you're long-suffering or patient, that means that you are slow to react when you are annoyed or when somebody does something wrong, that you are willing to patiently endure. We're patient, we're long-suffering, because we can see then that they are a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. How about you? Listen, I'm 64, but I can honestly tell you that the Lord is not done with me. He's still working on me. I've been getting worked on this morning. Anybody else? I'm just telling you, he's still working on me. And you see, we need to be humble enough, we need to be gentle enough and long-suffering enough to see that God is still working on them, and we need to give not just them, give the Lord time. I'm going to tell you, his timetable is not always our timetable, is it? But I can tell you when we will be finished. It's Philippians 1:6. He says, I am confident of this thing, that God, who has begun a work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll be done the day of Jesus Christ. Until then, we need to be patient with one another, because none of us has arrived yet. All of us can say, hey, God's not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. And so we extend that same grace to others and allow God to continue to work on them, and that takes long suffering. One man is at the supermarket, and he's got a little baby sitting in the basket, and the little baby's just screaming and carrying on, and the man is saying, it's okay, Albert. It's going to be all right. Just calm down, Albert. Just stay calm. And a woman sees this, and she goes over, and she tells the man, she says, oh, I think it's wonderful how patient you are with little Albert. He said, ma'am, I'm Albert. But I want to tell you something. In a way, Albert had the right idea. Because when others are not doing what we think they ought to be doing, or they're doing something we think they shouldn't be doing, we need to keep ourselves under control. Some people just push your buttons. Now think about this for a minute. This is a phrase, this is a thing people say. Oh, they really push my buttons. You know, buttons are something that you find on electronics, and you push a button and it makes it do a certain thing. You got buttons, and people push buttons on you, and it makes you respond a certain way. You've turned the control of your behavior and attitude over to other people. See, we need to get rid of our buttons. We need to say, you know what? I am under the control of the Holy Spirit. We need the control of the help of the Holy Spirit, so we can have self-control, keep self under control. You can't control everybody. But you sure can control yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit. And hear this now. Self-control and gentleness and long-suffering are all a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we can do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can bear with one another in love. There's always going to be people that do things that you don't like. I mean, you ever feel like if everybody in the world would just do what I want, the world would be a better place? I think we might all feel that way on some level, but the truth is that we need to bear with one another. We can easily fall into that thinking that our way is the right way. My perspective is always right. You know, the way I see it is the right way. And we can end up judging other people and judging their spirituality when what we should be doing is bearing with others. You know, when it comes to our differences of opinion, we all think we're right, or we would change our opinion, right? But we need to bear with others. Differences of opinion. Sometimes I think I'm a little crazy, but sometimes things just need to be said. You may have to bear with me. So, in love, see, Republicans and Democrats, bear with one another. See, some of you so twisted up, you can't even swallow that right now. Well, I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to help you. We are not supposed to be like the world. Annoying traits, lack of character, lack of spirituality. bear with one another in love. Maybe they're not as smart as you. Maybe they're not as strong as you. Maybe they're not as spiritual as you. Bear with one another in love. You know, when it comes to personal convictions and matters of preference, the scripture says this in Romans 15, 1 and 2, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." You who are strong, he says, if you consider yourself to be strong, then you have an added responsibility because the strong are to bear the scruples of the weak. Bearing with one another, you see, sometimes we have to bear with the convictions and the opinions of others. Listen, this message is, it's really all up in our face if we'll hear it. Because this is where we live. But I want to tell you something. It is also freeing. It will set you free. Amen. See, I'm a fix-it guy, and I can work on a $2 toy for an hour. Because I got to fix it. I also want to fix people. But the truth is, that's not my job. I can't fix people. My job is to try to help people. I mean, that's all of our job, right? We want to minister to them. We want to help them. But the truth is only God can fix them. But what a burden, what a heavy load that is when you think that it's your job to criticize those who aren't doing right and those who think wrong, and you got to fix everybody. You need to get free. You need to do what God says for you to do, and that is for you to bear with one another in love. And it's amazing how that so often when we are willing to do what we're supposed to, it opens the door for God to move into those relationships and work and do what only He can do. Sometimes when you are upset and irritated with people, you might just be the one with the bigger problem. Two monks on a journey, an older monk and a younger monk. They come to a river and they have to wade across. And there's a woman standing there in nice clothes and she can't get across the river without ruining her clothes. So the younger monk, he takes her on his back and he carries her across the river and lets her down and they go on their way. They were quiet for a long, long time. And finally, the older monk says to the younger monk, he says, "You sinned by carrying that woman across the river. We're not supposed to touch a woman." Silence again. And finally, the younger monk said, "I put her down as soon as we got across the river. Why are you still carrying her?" Somebody did something you didn't think was right, and you stay all bent out of shape and all wound up, and you act all ugly and unchristian. Okay. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 7, 1 through 5, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus says, do not judge. And if you do judge, he says you got a plank in your eye. Don't try to do God's job. It's not your place to judge. He says, do not judge. And here's the thing, it's kind of hard to take it sometimes, but you might be right, but if you're not being loving, you're wrong. You're wrong already. If you judge others, and it's amazing how we can begin to be critical in our mind and attitude about somebody and think they're doing wrong. And, you know, A lot of times we just don't have the right perspective. We don't have God's perspective to be able to be that way and think that way. A young couple moved into a new neighborhood and they are eating breakfast, and the wife looks out the kitchen window and she notices that her neighbor's laundry that she's hung out to dry all looks dirty. And so she complained about it to her husband, and week after week she would say, "That woman doesn't know how to wash clothes. Her laundry's always dirty." Now finally one day she says to her husband, she says, "Oh my goodness, she finally learned how to clean clothes. Her clothes are clean today." Husband said, "Well, actually, I cleaned the windows this morning." See, some of you think somebody's not doing something right, and you're the one that has the problem. It does happen that way sometime. I like these old stories because they make the point without getting too personal. I've been accused of telling stories on people before. Had a man got mad and never came back to the church because he thought his wife had been talking to me. That's amazing how... Listen, if the Holy Spirit puts his finger on you this morning, good. But it ain't this old boy. It's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you think you're putting up with so much, you just don't have a clear picture. And I think that one day in heaven, we'll finally see. Many years ago, 10-year-old boy walks into an old-fashioned soda shop, and he gets up on the stool. The waitress comes over. He says, "What can I get for you?" The little boy says, "Well, how much is a sundae, a chocolate sundae?" She says, 50 cents. He gets his change out, and he starts counting and counting, and he counts it all again. And she's kind of getting annoyed, rolling her eyes at this point. And he says, "Well, what about just a dip of ice cream?" She said, 35 cents. So he puts his 35 cents out there, and she takes it. She gets the ice cream, brings it back. Well, after about 10 minutes, she goes over there to get the bowl and clean up, and he's gone. She picks up the bowl, and she sees there 15 cents. You see, he could have got the sundae, but he wanted to leave a tip. So he got just the ice cream. Here she had been all annoyed and put out with him when he was just trying to do the right thing and treat her right. Sometimes, I'm just telling you, you think you've been put upon, you think you've had to put up with so much, but there'll come a day, maybe in heaven, but there'll come a day when you realize maybe others were putting up with more than you were. I just pray the Holy Spirit show you this morning where you need to make some changes. Maybe you even need to go to somebody and say, "You know what, I've been wrong about how I've been about this." But however the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, that you just respond to that. But get this. The Word of the Lord tells us that we are to bear with one another in love. That's the way Jesus wants His church to be. We bear with one another in love. That's what it's supposed to look like. But I also want to tell you, any relationship in your life that you want to be better, you want to improve that relationship, start using this. Bear with them in love. I'm telling you, when we obey the Word of God, it opens the door for real change, for God to move in and to work. And I want to say one last time, get free this morning. Trying to fix other people, just carrying that burden of what everybody else is doing wrong. What a heavy burden that is. It's not yours. Your burden, your job is to bear with one another in love. Stay with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for prayer partners to come.